News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR.
International Olympic Committee announced that eligibility henceforth for the Olympics in the female categories will be dependent on a once-in-a-lifetime sex test, which means that transgender women will not be able to compete in female categories in the Olympics after 2028. Sue Wong is with us. She's spokeswoman for the group Sex Equity and Equality Network in Sport. Sue, given the heft that the IOC has in the world of sport, do you expect this now to cascade through other sports?
Absolutely. Firstly, thank you for having me on. It's quite an extraordinary headline, isn't it? If you imagine 20 years ago, someone would say in the future, there would be international news that female sport is for females. I mean, you would hardly believe it. It sounds ridiculous. But yes, absolutely. While the Olympic sport is obviously the very elite, this really impacts ordinary women and girls, because for well over a decade, international federations, national sports governing bodies have been using this IOC policy, which was deeply flawed, and they've been using it to justify having males in the female category in sport. Now, absolutely now, this justification ends completely, and we must see swift policy change from all of these national governing bodies, because they need to be protecting the female category. And it's been very encouraging that the IOC has been very clear that this is about fairness, safety, and the integrity of the female category.
And is the methodology
and it's based
applied
entirely
by the,
on science?
Is the method, well, that's where I wanted to go. Is the methodology applied by the IOC the one that you would want to see spread across all sport?
Well, I mean, the scientific evidence is obviously very clear. What's more extraordinary is that this bizarre policy and this strange framework that they had before, I'm particularly referring to the one they had from 2015, that if you were going to put in an extraordinary thing to say, okay, we're going to have some males in the female category, you would have thought that at that point, you'd have put in the scientific evidence to prove that. But that just simply wasn't the case. And this just proves what we've known all along. And in fact, you know, we know, I mean, they talk about the testosterone peak that happens in utero. We all know male babies on average tend to be bigger than female babies. We all know, if we've been to a primary school sports day, that on average, the boys tend to be faster and stronger than the girls. The male advantage is there. And I'm very happy that the IOC made it clear that it's in all sports.
What then?
And then
about
they also talk about male advantage, but also there is female disadvantage. And that's a really, really key thing.
What about, Sue, the transgender athletes? Because it leaves them in a position, and some of these would be elite athletes, it leaves them in a position where effectively their sporting lives are over.
Well, I think that's simply not true. And that's a myth that's very much been propagated, because nobody is banned or prevented from playing in their sport. What you have to do, and what the IOC has made very clear, is you have to compete in the category for which you are eligible. So, for example, in the boxing categories, you can't have a situation where you have a heavyweight who wants to identify into the lightweight category, because that would simply be unfair and unsafe, and you have to protect the lightweight category. And this is exactly the same thing. So what you're doing is you're saying, we have these categories for sport. The reason they are there are for equity, to give all people the opportunity to compete.
Yeah, but so if you have an athlete who has gone through the process of transitioning and they have taken the hormones that go with it, you know that it makes them incapable of being elite within the gender that they are transitioning away from. And then they get closed out of the gender that they are transitioning to. That leaves them in a complete limbo, doesn't it?
Well, no, because they are still, and the IOC makes it very clear, they are still eligible to compete if they are good enough. Now, the male advantage is so clear. We're talking, and the IOC said 10 to 12% performance advantage in running and swimming events, 20% plus in throwing and jumping, and it can be over 100% in events with explosive power, anything with collision, lifting, and punching sports. And the IOC is very clear, the scientific evidence does not show that if you reduce your testosterone, or if you have any form of surgery, this This may reduce your male advantage, but it doesn't eliminate it completely. And also, we've also got to remember, while you can absolutely have sympathy, the thing to remember is humans cannot change sex. And the female category is based on people's sex.
Sue, thank you very much.
So this is all about eligibility for the women.
Okay.
And protecting the women and girls, because otherwise it's just unfair on women and girls.
Sue,
and bear in mind...
Sorry, we'll have to leave it there, Sue, because time is against us. Thank you so much. Sue Wong, spokesperson for Scene in Sport and Scene being Sex, Equity and Equality Network in Sport. Big thank you to the entire team on Breakfast. The researchers, Ellen Kelly, Dylan Hand, producers Dara Faulkner and Aisling Lynch, editors Aisling Moore and Emer Bradley, and our broadcast assistant Anne-Marie Kane, and in the control room, Cormac McDonough on sound. Coming up,
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage in association with AIR.